This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30, and this can be found on page 1031 of the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. As he stood up to read, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
You would see in the order of service that I posed a question: who is welcome at the Lord's table? And I hope that when you take away your orders of service, that you will, when you read the sentence again and this question is playing through your mind, that you will remember what this is all about. I pose this question in the light of what happened on this day in 1945. It was the day that the Russian troops liberated the death camp at Auschwitz. They liberated approximately 7,600 Jews. It's clear that in Germany there was one man who was playing God over other people. He decided who was part of the super race, and those, according to him, who did not belong were exterminated in various ways. Shocking. But this did not stop other dictators from doing exactly the same. We saw it in Uganda, in Rwanda, in Bosnia, in Libya. And yes, we see it now in Syria and Northern Africa. And I'm sure it will always remain with us as long as humans are in charge. Even the great poet of Scotland, Robert Burns, wrote about this in his poem, "A Man is a Man for All That and All That," where he talks of the inhumanities that humans will do to other humans. And there, again, that does not stop, because there's people living around us with clear convictions who belong in the kingdom of God and those who do not belong in this kingdom. And according to them, those who do not belong in the kingdom are excluded in many ways, even excluded from the Lord's table. And often our doctrines, our beliefs, becomes a culture, a tradition that becomes barriers for people coming together and worshiping God. An example of this is, in my first charge, one woman was not allowed to come and sit at the table of the Lord because she was wearing trousers. Apparently, somewhere in the early centuries, that was a rule in that church or in that congregation. But it's not biblical and not supported by the Bible in any way. But this became a doctrine, a tradition. But what do we do about these things? What do we do about all these things that happens in us and around us? Maybe we must do what Jesus did a long time ago. We must confront all the things in our faith, doctrine, culture, and traditions that exclude people and change it for the better of all. It only needs one person to change it, and then the others will follow. Jesus faced his worst enemies by going to the synagogue in his hometown, speaking to them in their comfort zone, and exposing them to the gospel of love, and conveying to them, proclaiming a God that does not judge people of different races or traditions. And when Jesus quotes scripture, he quoted Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. But he quoted it with a difference. And you can go and look at it after the service. He left out the bit of judgment and punishment to emphasize his whole point. He is the Messiah, and he came as God's anointed one to include all people in his kingdom, the blind, the oppressed, the prisoners, the poor, and to proclaim the year of God's favor. And we must just understand the severity of what Jesus said. Because in that society, these people were excluded. These people were pushed to the margins of society. Some of these people were not even allowed to come into the cities. They were left out in the cold, although we don't know because of the climate, it's not so cold. But they were left out in the field to fend for themselves. And now Jesus is saying, this is wrong. They must be included in the kingdom. And when he talks about the year of the Jubilee, he's referring to the practice whereby the Jews would celebrate a Jubilee year or a year of release, usually every seventh year. And it came into practice since the Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai that when they enter the land he's going to give them, they must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, they were allowed to sow their fields and for 6 years prune their vineyards and gather in the crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath or a rest, a Sabbath to the Lord, when no one was allowed to sow their fields, prune their vineyards, reap what grows of itself, or even harvest the grapes of their unintended vines. They misused everything in that year as food for themselves, for their slaves, their hired workers, and all their guests. And during this year as well, all the landed property would revert to the original owners. And all the slaves were set free, and all the debts were remitted. And this is what Jesus referred to in the Lord's Prayer when he said, forgive us our debts. It's written off. No one speaks about it anymore. And Jesus is telling them that the Lord's year of grace have now dawned upon them. He is the expected Messiah. But they did not understand, because to them, he was just a wee lad from that village. They all knew him. And although he quotes from the prophets, that a prophet is not known in his hometown, they still did not get the pun he was intended. He was, of course, referring to the prophet Jeremiah, who was persecuted in his own priestly town of Anathoth in the Old Testament. But Jesus goes on and he focused their attention on the great prophets. He talks first about the prophet Elijah. He said the prophet Elijah was sent by God to a widow, a heathen widow in the heathen land of Sidon. Although there were many Jewish widows also suffering from the famine that existed for 3.5 years. And he said even the prophet Elijah healed a heathen leper of Syria while no other Jewish leper was healed. God included people that was excluded by the Jews. And Jesus' point is very clear. Nazareth will not receive him, but the Gentiles, the non-Jews, they will. And again in that context, there was barriers between the Jews and everyone that was not a Jew. The Jews regarded everyone else as dogs, as unclean people, people who are not allowed in the temple of God. But Jesus came and he changed this. And this is the crux of his message, his gospel, to include rather than to exclude. So our reading this morning emphasizes again what we need to do as followers of Jesus. We must make sure that everyone is included in our worship, in our churches, in our services, in our outreach to our communities, when we socialize and when we work. As followers of Jesus, we need to convey his message of inclusion everywhere we go. And I attended a conference this week where the moderator of the church, Albert Bogle, said it so beautifully. He said, it's not about the messenger. It's about the message. And if you get this message across, that's all that matters. And this is the message we must proclaim, that everyone is welcome in God's presence. And we have communion this morning to remind us once again that this is not our table. It's God's table. It's his table of love and inclusion. And everyone is invited. And we must take part as one body in love, faith, hope, and peace. And the most important bit is when we leave the church, we must leave the church as one body, delivering the one message of God's forgiving grace, God's inclusion of all people. And yes, every year must be a jubilee year where we forgive others, where we celebrate God's love and thank God for his abundance, providing in all our needs. If you are sitting in this church and you struggle to forgive, struggle to include certain people in your picture of the kingdom of God or your picture of the church, do not shy away. Confront your beliefs. Address them and deal with it through the power of God's Holy Spirit. He will help you and make of you an example of God's mission to everyone on this earth. After all, we are all Jock Tamson's parents. Amen.